What is up, Mission Church? My name is Jake, and I get to be part of the team that helped start Mission City Church up in Santa Barbara. And if you were around about 9 months ago, a year ago, myself and my teammate Sean, we were hanging around here a lot, learning a whole lot about what it takes to start a church and developing relationships. And then in September, we jumped up to Santa Barbara City College, where we meet every Sunday now to start Mission City. And there were a lot of you that helped make that happen. Many of you drove up and hung out with kids and greeted guests and helped set up and tear down. And most importantly, put out the donuts, right? Like we don't serve 4,000 donuts every Sunday yet. And maybe like you guys should just chill out, all right? Like get a blood test or something, all right? I'm worried about you. But it's been a really, really fun journey of watching people get involved and meet Jesus for the first time. And now there's a church in Santa Barbara helping people find and follow Jesus just like Mission. It's been really, really great. In fact, even though it's only 6 months old, there have been really cool stories of people's lives changing. Like there's Julio, and Julio's mom was fighting cancer right around the summer, and she ended up passing away. And her dying wish was that her son and his family would find a church to get involved in. It had been years since he was a kid that he'd ever been around one. And she passed 2 weeks right before Mission City opened up. And he joined us on our first Sunday. And now he's involved and serving and giving. And he said he's this close to baptism, right? So if you got a prayer, pray for Julio this week, all right? We got one. Alan and Esther live in the apartment right next to Santa Barbara City College. Alan's been a Christian for less than a year, and he's figuring all this out, and we meet on a weekly basis just talking about God, and he's going to be a world changer. There's Jason and Aaron, who for 7 years were driving from Santa Barbara all the way down here to Mission because they love this church so much. But there was something happening in their neck of the woods, and so they joined our launch team, and they have been leading and influencing and making a huge, huge difference. There's story after story of people that whose lives are being changed, not because we're awesome and have things figured out, but because God is up to something and he can change anybody, and we're just excited to be a part of it. And so right now there are about 100, 120 people most Sundays there in Santa Barbara as part of this growing church, and you were a part of making that happen, all right? So if you would help me celebrate those that helped make that happen, and just that you are a church that is invested in starting other churches. We believe that God's not done yet. We think that he's got a lot more for this coast, and we're excited to be a part of it. So will you just celebrate with me all that God's doing up and down the coast? I think it's awesome. Too cool. And today we're wrapping up a series called Life Hacks. And over the last few weeks, we've been walking through this book of the Bible called James. Now, sometimes when it comes to God or church or the Bible, it can be overwhelming trying to figure out where do I start. Like maybe you even tried to read the Bible once and you opened it up and there were words you didn't know how to pronounce. There were cities you had never heard of. There were people's names in there that had way too many letters. And you're just trying to figure out like, how in the world do I figure out where to start when it comes to God and church and the Bible? And sometimes it can be confusing because it seems like, all right, I like believe this stuff about God, or maybe I'm starting to go on this journey with Jesus, but I'm not really sure how it changes my life. And it almost seems like two separate things. There's what I believe and then what I do. But what James does is he says, actually, what they should do about what they believe. He's helping people understand that what we believe should impact the way that we live. It should impact our relationships and the decisions that we make. Like your 4 o'clock on this Tuesday should be different because of who Jesus is and who he says that we are. And so James has been helping us apply this to our lives. And today we're going to run into what I call an all skate. All right, you know what an all skate means? All right, if you're over 30, you probably know. If you're under 30, let me educate you, okay? There was this trend called roller skating. All right, roller skating. Now, it neither required the speed nor the athleticism that rollerblading requires. All right, this was way more of a social hangout. And on a Friday night, you would find yourself called at a roller rink, and there would be a DJ playing music. And at some point in the night, he would say, "All right, everybody, this is an all skate. I'm about to play one of the most popular songs on the radio," and like, I'll explain radio later, all right? But you get in the middle, and if anybody's laced up, you're expected to be in the rink. We're all doing this together. Now, sometimes what happens is when you come to a place like this, and maybe you'll even hear this really good message, and what we do is we play this fun game where we say, oh, that was really good. I know someone else that needs to hear that, right? Like, oh, I really wish, oh, my son's gonna get that link. I'm sending him the video. I'm gonna forward it to him. Like, he needs to watch this. Or, man, if my boss was here, it would have changed their lives. They're not here, but I wish they were here because they really need to hear this. And we're really good at applying messages to other people in our lives. But today is an all skate. You don't get to put this on anyone else. In fact, none of us get out alive, all right? We all have work to do because today we're talking about our tongue, all right? Our tongue, our words, our speech, our conversations. There's just a mild grumble across the entire room. Like, ah, no, not one of those, all right? We're talking about the words that we say. You see, every one of us on average speak about 16,000 words a day, 16,000. Or if you're a student, you say out loud 7 words a day and text 100,000 words a day, all right? I get it's different for everybody. But that means that you and I have 16,000 opportunities to get it right or to get it wrong. 16,000 chances to build someone else up or tear them down. And so many of us mess up on a regular basis. It doesn't matter how good of a communicator you are, all of us slip up. In fact, I'm convinced that your communicating team here at Mission is one of the most talented in the entire country. Right? Every single Sunday, you get to show up and hear from brilliant communicators. And even though they are professionals and so good at this, even they mess up. All right, take a look at this video.
Did I feel just that fake buzz on my phone, but my phone's over there, but I felt it on my leg?
I don't get you. Like, why can't you be normal, you know, like me?
You're annoying, and that is really annoying, okay?
I would rather, you know, hold it up to Mike and say, hey, I've got the magnifying side even, you know, if you really want to see what's going on in you.
What?
You need to look in here, you need to look in here.
If it feels good. Do it.
Let's stop that. Okay, that's a bad thing to do.
If you ever try to buy $27,000 in Visa gift cards, that's not an easy thing to do.
Donate them to the Taylor Hunt Foundation.
I need to get as much as I can get.
What's wrong with you?
I mean, if I can simply attach a belt with electrodes onto my gut.
That's insanity. It doesn't work.
When your six-pack becomes a 2-liter, which it will.
Then why won't I just sit in my recliner and eat Cheetos?
That's stupid. That's not normal. That's crazy.
Don't you dare spoil this.
You've become a cynic.
We don't have enough time, not enough, you know, months in the year, days in the week, seconds in the minute in the, you know.
Math.
I wasted so much time.
I should have known he's never on time. Must be nice to keep your own schedule, you know.
Make it double, don't worry.
I won't sing it, you can't.
There are frogs all over your pizza. Your wife and your daughter have been standing on the countertop screaming, do something.
Why are you so crazy like this?
Don't settle for one more night with the frogs.
There's a toad. Yeah, he's on fire, but you know, he's having fun. And
did he say that?
I think that's Satan over there. That's cool.
Swipe left, swipe right.
I have lots of platforms that I get to do that. I mean, I get to exalt my new haircut.
She said she wouldn't do that again. She did that again.
If you just do what I say, then you'll feel all better.
Crazy people know that.
You complete me. You know, that's how I feel about that one.
Oh, man. Hey, I know of a really great church like 40 minutes north of here, all right? You don't have to put up with this, all right? You can come. It's okay. No, I'm kidding, man. It doesn't matter how good you are, how professional you are. You have those moments. Every single one of us know what this is like. The words are barely out of your mouth and you just want to grab them and stuff them back in because you immediately knew it was the wrong thing. It's like the toothpaste is out of the tube and I cannot get it back in no matter how hard I try. You just can't do it. It's not going back in there. I said the thing that I immediately knew was wrong. I said the thing that I immediately knew was gonna hurt. And there is no getting back the toothpaste in the tube. The words are out there forever, forever. Maybe it was the moment where your coworker asked the same question for the third time this week, and you were hungry, and you were tired, and you were hangry, and you snapped at them, right? Or maybe it was the time when your kids hit the 3-minute mark of arguing about who got to play with that one toy, when there were dozens of other toys that they could have easily chosen. And you looked them in the eye and you said, I brought you into this world. I can take you out of this world and I can have fun replacing you, okay? I will do it. I will do it. Not that you said, I didn't say that, all right? Or maybe it was the moment where you realized that the person you were talking about behind their back was actually behind your back and they could hear the words that you were saying. And the toothpaste is out of the tube, and we've all had that moment. We said, oh, why would I say that? And James knows it. And he's going to call it out in us, and he's going to help us rework some things that'll help us understand why we say what we say, where it comes from, and how it can change. So let's dive in. James chapter 3, verse 2. Goes like this. He said, indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. I love how James starts this. He's saying, this isn't all skate. Or even a phrase that we use around here a lot is just, it's me too. Like, me too. I don't know how long you've been around Mission or around this group of people, but one thing that I think is really, really cool is that the moment that any of us kind of raise our hand and say, you know what, I don't have this figured out. Like, I'm not sure I know all the answers, and I don't know that I always fit in. You know the response that you're going to get. It's not judgment or dismissal. You're going to get a me too. You got questions? Me too. And you struggle and sometimes say things that you don't mean? Man, me too. We're all in this together. James says, if you were perfect in the way that you speak, you would be a perfect person. That's how hard this is. And there are not a lot of rules around here, but one of them is that there are no perfect people allowed. We're not going to pretend that we have it all together. Every single one of us can grow in the way that we speak. So James says, we're all in this together. Every single one of us fails. And then he keeps going. He says, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. James continues to make his case, the case that you and I all already know, is that our tongue has a disproportionate impact. When you think about the size of our tongue, it's not the biggest body part. It is not the strongest body part, but it's the one that wreaks the most havoc. My arms are bigger, my legs are stronger, but my tongue has ruined more relationships in my life than anything else. In fact, he continues to illustrate it. He says, if you've ever been around a horse, horses are massive, and they're stronger than us, and they're bigger than us, but we can control them with this tiny little thing called a bit in the mouth of a horse. It's that tiny little metal circle that you see right there, and when someone is on top of the horse, if they pull that to the left or pull it to the right, they can set the direction of that horse, even though the horse is more powerful than them. And then he says it's like a rudder on a boat. Maybe one day you walk down to the harbor here in Ventura, and I have a feeling that you did not walk down to the harbor and say, you know what? Look at that rudder. That's a good looking rudder. That is clearly a very influential part of that boat. No, you looked at the sails, you looked at the boat, but the rudder, it's that rudder, that tiny little rudder at the back of the boat that determines the direction of the boat. And James is saying, if you really want to know the direction of your relationships, the direction of even your life, the direction of your career, it can all be found in our tongue. And then he says, all it takes is one little spark and a whole forest can be on fire. And if anybody knows about wildfires, it's those of us that live on the Central Coast. As we've watched the Thomas Fire and the Whittier Fire wreak havoc on our homes, it just took one little spark and everything can go down in flames. And so if it's true, it's true what James is saying, that our tongue and the words that we speak and the conversations that we have had this massively disproportionate impact in our lives, in our relationships, in our careers. Then why is it that so few of us really give it the attention that it deserves? Like so many of us, we just kind of tell it like it is. That's our strategy. We speak before we think. Or very few of us have ever put a plan into place so that we can choose our words more wisely, even though It is wildly influential in our world. So James is going to continue unpacking this idea for us, and then he's going to give us some perspective that will help us understand how we can have better words. Look how he keeps going. So people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It's restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. So here's what James is saying, and I think it's actually the hardest thing for me to hear and probably the hardest thing for all of us to hear, is that our words come from a place. They all come from somewhere. You see, he's talking about that source of water, a spring of water, and he says it's the source that will determine the quality of the water. If the source is good, then the water will be clean and we can drink it. If the source is bad, it will be bitter and we won't have anything to do with it. It is the source of the water, where it comes from, that determines the quality of what we drink. And in fact, the words of Jesus, James' brother, here's what he said. For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. See, maybe you've had this moment where you said something to someone and you saw their facial reaction and it wasn't good. Right? Their eyes got wide with shock. Maybe they got closed with anger. They welled up with tears and you realized, I have to salvage this moment right here. I don't know how to make what just happened undone, but I need to figure it out. And so we say this. See if you've ever said this in your life. I know I have. I don't know where that came from. You ever said that? Like, I know I just said those words, and you and I just heard those words, but I don't know where that came from. That's not me. I wouldn't say that. It's like someone else took over charge of my mouth and said the words for me. Like, no way would I say those words to you. I don't know where that came from. And Jesus is over here raising his hand. He's like, I know. I know exactly where that came from. It came from our heart. See, our words are a window into our hearts. That's where it comes from. See, many of us would like to think that the words that we say don't have a direct tie to what happens on the inside. But Jesus is saying, not only are they directly related, it is the source of them itself. So the words we say, we don't have a word issue. We don't have a speech issue. We have a heart issue. So that moment where you snapped on your family because you had a really hard day at work, we like to blame it on our circumstance, but it's not a circumstantial issue. It's a heart issue. Or, you know, those moments where we're around a certain group of friends and we talk a certain kind of way and we use certain kind of words. And then we come here for an hour and we really try to clean it up and tighten it up because we know that that stuff can't come here. So that's not a friend group issue, that's a heart issue. Or that moment where we realize that we can't even have a conversation with our coworkers or our classmates around the lunch table unless it revolves around the pain of someone else. And gossip has become the central point of our conversation. Saying that's not your coworker's fault. That's a heart issue. It all comes from within. And so if we acknowledge that and if we're willing to agree with James that that's where it comes from, then how do we change? I don't know that any of us want to settle for that. I don't know that any of us want to continue that. What do we do? And I love the way James said it. He said, think about the plants and the fruit that you see. A fig tree doesn't grow olives. A grapevine doesn't grow figs. They grow what they grow because the fruit is the source of the tree. So you and I, we live in this really cool part of the country where there are just fruit trees everywhere. In fact, show of hands, how many of you have like a fruit tree in your yard or in your neighborhood or something like that? Yeah, look around. There's like fruit everywhere. This is amazing. And so in our condo area where we live, there is a lemon tree. There's a lime tree. And in our front door, we have an orange tree to the left. And then this tree called a kumquat tree right to the right. Anybody, you know what a kumquat is? Everybody heard of that? Okay. So I did not know what they were. They're these like little orange citruses. When I moved in, I just thought that they were oranges that were bad at being oranges, right? I didn't know any better. I just thought this is dysfunctional. I don't know what to do. Now imagine one day that I wanted a lime to add to my beverage. And I thought that the lime would really top this off. And so I walk outside and I say, hey, kumquat tree. I don't want a kumquat. I want a lime. I want you to stop growing kumquats. I want you to be a lime tree, all right? Got it? Good. Go back inside, come out 2 hours later, still kumquats, all right? Like, there's no limes on that tree. And I said, what are you doing? I told you I wanted limes. I don't want the kumquats, I want the limes. And then I did that every day for a year. Now, what would be the circumstance? What would be the impact of that? Well, my neighbors would rightfully be concerned about the safety of my children because crazy people yell at trees. Right? Crazy people yell at the fruit because we understand that that tree can only grow the fruit that it was designed to grow. And as absurd as that sounds, there have been so many of us that have taken that same approach to our lives, that we've looked at the fruit of our lives, the words that we say, the relationships we develop, the career path we are on, and we just start yelling at the fruit. Like, do better. Try harder. Stop it. There have been so many times that I've looked in the mirror and just said, why can't you figure this out? And I'm yelling at a tree. As if I'm yelling at the fruit, telling it to be better. See, the truth is that if we want different fruit, we have to plant a different tree. It's the only way we're getting different fruit. See, what God wants to do in our lives is he doesn't want to just kind of like slightly modify our behavior. He doesn't want to make our speech like 5% better and our relationships like 7% better. And he just wants to make it a little bit better. He actually wants to change the tree. See, what God does is he doesn't come in and just pick some fruit off and make it grow different. He uproots the old one. And sometimes that can be painful. And then he plants a new tree and he puts new nutrients in there so that it can grow the fruit that he always intended. We want different fruit, we have to plant a different tree. We don't have a words issue, we have a heart issue. And God wants to do some heart work. And so today we're gonna wrap up and I'm gonna give you four phrases that could change everything, all right? Four phrases that there's a really good chance that you need to say one of these to someone in your life this week, all right? Four phrases, like the In-N-Out menu, all right? You got four things to choose from, all right? And you gotta choose one of them. This is how we're gonna do it. So again, this is an all skate. This is everybody in it together. You're not applying this to anyone else. I'm giving you choices, but you gotta choose one because I know that there's someone in your life that desperately needs to hear these words from you. We're gonna choose to build up, not tear down, all right? You ready? Here we go. Phrase number one, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Man, those two words are simple and it's not a lot of letters and it's not complicated and it's already in your vocabulary. Those words could change everything. Like maybe you need to apologize to the people in your car for what happened on the way over here today. Maybe it's a coworker or a classmate, something happened this week. Maybe it's something that happened years ago and you've been carrying it with you and you know that there's pain and you know that there's residue and these two words could change everything. I'm sorry. See, the thing about what happens when we say I'm sorry is it does stuff to our heart. Because when I say I'm sorry, it now puts me in a position that's lower than you. I'm admitting that what I did was wrong. I'm admitting that I hurt you. And I'm putting myself at the sake of your mercy on me. Will you forgive me? I'm sorry. My parents in the room, one of the most powerful things we can ever do is apologize to our kids. I have 3 kids at home, 9, 8, and 4. And there is nothing more humbling than standing a 4-year-old in front of you, Cheetos all over his face, and saying, I'm sorry. Because I spoke to you that way, because I was angry, because I was tired. I shouldn't have said what I did. And I'm sorry. But the thing is that there's gonna be a moment in his life where he's gonna do the same thing. He's gonna say the wrong thing. And he needs to know that not only is dad not perfect and he's willing to admit when he's wrong, but I can do that too. I'm sorry. Phrase number two that could change everything. I love you. I love you. You see, there's someone in your life right now that isn't sure that that's true about you and them. Like you assume that they know and you said it that one time and you stood up at the altar and you said, I do and I love you and I'll inform you if anything changes, right? Like, that's kind of been your attitude. Maybe it's a kid, maybe it's a spouse, really close friend. You don't know what they're going through, but you just know that it's been a really long time since I told you. I love you. It doesn't cost us anything. It's not gonna hurt to say. In fact, it's going to build them up. No one has ever rejected those words. But sometimes we're stingy with them unnecessarily. So today, there might be someone in your life, actually I'm almost positive there's someone in your life that needs to hear that you love them. And phrase number three, I need help. I need help. Those three words, again, it's not complicated to say out loud. We know those words. But somewhere along the way, we were taught that we're supposed to figure our own stuff out. Did you learn that lesson? I know I did. Someone told me that when you ask for help, it makes you weak. And when you ask for help, it means you couldn't figure it out. And when you ask for help, then that means that you failed. And we learned this lesson a long time ago, and it has been one of the most destructive lessons that we've ever learned. Because it's not true. You and I, we were not designed by God to live in relationship where we helped one another. The Bible puts it by shouldering one another's burdens. That heavy weight that you're carrying, I'm actually supposed to put my shoulder underneath it and lighten the weight for you. And you do it for me too. I need help. So maybe you're in a relationship and it seems to be falling apart and you're not sure where to turn and you just need to say, I need help. That thing that used to be a bad habit that you could stop whenever you wanted to is now turned into an addiction and you're scared. I need help. Maybe your job's falling apart and you're not sure where to turn. I need help. And like we've already established today, you're not gonna get a judgmental tone. You won't be dismissed for saying those words. If anything, it'll draw us closer together. I need help. Fourth and final phrase that could change everything for someone else in your life is this. You're invited. You're invited. See, there's someone in your life right now, I know it's true about me, that you wish was sitting right next to you right now. And maybe you've tried before and you've hinted at it and you've tried to get them here and you have an opportunity here over the next couple weeks to say, you're invited. See, what you get to know is that every time someone comes here, they get to hear that there's hope. Hope in the fact that Jesus loves us and that he did everything for us and he's changed us from the inside out. Not because we've performed, not because we made God love us, not because we finally got good enough and he's gonna accept us, but because God loved us so much that he provided a way for us to be back together. And you get to invite someone to that. You're invited to come with me. You're invited to sit with me. You're invited out to lunch. If you really like them, you can invite them to pay for their lunch, right? You can do all of it. You're invited. You're invited. Those two words, it doesn't cost us anything to give, but it could change everything. So here's your deal. There's your menu right there. You got four choices. You can choose one, you can choose all of them, but there is someone in your life that needs to hear one of those phrases today. So I'm gonna pray right now a prayer of courage. That right now as you are talking yourself out of saying that thing that you know you really need to say, that God will give you the courage and the strength to say it. Can I pray for you? God, we are so grateful that you call us out for the things that we need to be called out for. It's painful and it's frustrating and it's embarrassing, but we know you're right. So today there might be someone right now that knows that they saw it on the screen and they really didn't want to see it on the screen because they knew they were supposed to say it and they're talking themselves out of it. I pray that right now you will meet them here. Give them the courage and the opportunity to say it today. You've given us a tool that can build up, that can heal, that can love. And we want to use that tool, our tongue, for the sake of other people. It's in your good name, I pray. Amen.